Ford turned sharply into a small alcove, cupped his hand, and yanked the flying robot in with him. He squatted down and peered at the burbling cybernaut. "What's been happening here?" he demanded.
"Oh, just the nicest things, sir. Just the nicest possible things. Can I sit on your lap, please?"
"No," said Ford, brushing the thing away. It was overjoyed to be spurned in this way, and started to bob and burble and swoon. Ford grabbed it again and stuck it firmly in the air a foot in front of his face. It tried to stay where it was put, but couldn't help quivering slightly. "Something's changed, hasn't it?" Ford hissed.
"Oh, yes," squealed the little robot, "in the most fabulous and wonderful way. I feel so good about it."
"Well, what was it like before, then?"
"Oh, scrumptious."
"But you like the way it's changed?" demanded Ford.
"I like everything," moaned the robot, "especially when you shout at me like that. Do it again, please."
"Just tell me what happened."
"Oh, thank you, thank you."
Ford sighed.
Okay, panted the robot. "The guide has been taken over. There's a new management. It's all so gorgeous I could just melt. The old management was also fabulous, of course, though I'm not sure if I thought so at the time."
"That was before you had a bit of wire stuck in your head," said Ford.
"How true, how wonderfully true, how wonderfully bubblingly, frothingly, burstingly true. What a truly ecstasy-inducingly correct observation."
"What's happened?" insisted Ford. "Who is this new management? When do they take over? Oh, never mind," he added, as the little robot started to gibber with uncontrollable joy and rub itself against his knee. "I'll go and find out for myself." Ford hurled himself at the door of the editor-in-chief's office, tucked himself into a tight ball as the frame splintered and gave way, rolled rapidly across the floor to where the drinks trolley laden with some of the galaxy's most potent and expensive beverages habitually stood, seized hold of the trolley, and using it to give himself cover, trundled it and himself across the main exposed part of the office floor to where the valuable and extremely rude statue of Leda and the Octopus stood, and took shelter behind it. Meanwhile, the little security robot, entering at chest height, was suicidally delighted to draw gunfire away from Ford. That, at least, was the plan, and a necessary one. The current editor-in-chief, Stag Yarzil Doggo, was a dangerously unbalanced man who took a homicidal view of contributing staff turning up in his office without pages of fresh-proofed copy, and had a battery of laser-guided guns linked to special scanning devices in the doorframe to deter anybody who was merely bringing extremely good reasons why they hadn't written any. Thus was a high level of output maintained. Unfortunately, the drinks trolley wasn't there. Ford hurled himself desperately sideways and somersaulted towards the statue of Leda and the Octopus, which also wasn't there. He rolled and hurtled around the room in a kind of random panic, tripped, span, hit the window, which fortunately was built to withstand rocket attacks, rebounded and fell in a bruised and winded heap behind a smart grey crushed leather sofa, which hadn't been there before. After a few seconds, he slowly peeked up from above the top of the sofa. As well as there being no drinks trolley and no Leda and the Octopus, there had also been a startling absence of gunfire. He frowned. This was all utterly wrong.
Mr. Prefect, I assume, said a voice.
The voice came from a smooth-faced individual behind a large ceramotique bonded desk. Stag Yarzil Doggo may well have been a hell of an individual, but no one, for a whole variety of reasons, would ever have called him smooth-faced. This was not Stag Yarzil Doggo. I assume from the manner of your entrance that you do not have any material for the guide at the moment, said the smooth-faced individual. He was sitting with his elbows resting on the table and holding his fingertips together in a manner which, inexplicably, has never been made a capital offence.
I've been busy, said Ford, rather weakly.
He staggered to his feet, brushing himself down. Then he thought, what the hell was he saying things weakly for? He had to get on top of the situation. He had to find out who the hell this person was, and he suddenly thought of a way of doing it.
"Who the hell are you?" he demanded. "I am your new editor-in-chief, that is, if we decide to retain your services. My name is Van Hall."
He didn't put his hand out. He just added, "What have you done to that security robot?" The little robot was rolling very, very slowly around the ceiling and moaning quietly to itself.
"I've made it very happy," snapped Ford. "It's the kind of mission I have. Where's Stagyar? More to the point, where's his drinks trolley?"
"Mr. Zildoggo is no longer with this organization. His drinks trolley is, I imagine, helping to console him for this fact."
"Organization?" yelled Ford. "Organization? What a bloody stupid word for a setup like this."
"Precisely our sentiments. Understructured, over-resourced, undermanaged, over-inebriated. And that," said Hull, "was just the editor."
"I'll do the jokes," snarled Ford.
"No," said Hull, "you will do the restaurant column." He tossed a piece of plastic onto the desk in front of him. Ford did not move to pick it up.
"You what?" said Ford.
"No. Me, Hall, you, Prefect. You do restaurant column, me, editor. Me sit here, tell you, you do restaurant column. You get?"
"Restaurant column," said Ford, too bewildered to be really angry at.
"Sit down, Prefect," said Hal. He swung round in his swivel chair, got to his feet, and stood staring out at the tiny specks enjoying the carnival 23 stories below.